George Harrison and Got My Mind Set on You. BBC Radio Berkshire, 20 minutes away from 9, which means 20 minutes away from Debbie McGee. Joining us on BBC Radio Berkshire, we'll find out more about what she has in store later. Now, the humanists are about to send schools around the country books explaining what their belief system is. The idea is that the books can then be put into the school's library for pupils to read at will. Is this a welcome step to encourage faith diversity in schools, or are the humanists using underhand tactics to win more followers? Our faith guest this week can tell us the answer to that, because he is the chair of the Windsor Humanists and he's Anthony Lewis. Anthony, welcome. Nice to have you here in the studio.
Good morning, Paul.
So let's go straight for that question. Is it a welcome addition to the debate on diversity, or is it underhand?
Yeah, Paul, it's a good question. I think if I step back, 50% of people in the UK, when surveys are done now, are non-religious. And a recent YouGov survey found that 25% of us in the UK hold humanist beliefs. And so I think, you know, it's only right that we explain what humanism is in schools. And what I like to do is suggest to people, if they want to know anything more about humanism, which is a very gentle life stance and approach to life, there's a very good website for schools on the humanist website. And we use it for adults that ask us questions about humanism. And when I say to people I'm a humanist, the first question I get asked is, well, what is humanism? So all this book is trying to do is just make sure that there's one book in every school in the country that can help pupils if they do ask that question.
Okay, well, we have spoken with humanists and about humanism on the programme before, but for those who missed it, just in a sentence or two sentences, what is a humanist?
Okay, it's a positive life stance. It's centred on people. It's based in our approach to life, using our shared humanity and guided by reason, evidence and science, using the whole accumulative knowledge and know-how of mankind, rather than just relying on ancient texts and authorities. It's as simple as that.
So do you have to make a conscious decision to become a humanist, or is every atheist out there automatically a humanist?
It's a good question. I grew up a Catholic in Northern Ireland, and I probably realised I was an atheist quite young, at about 12 or 13, but I didn't realise I was a humanist till just about 4 or 5 years ago, when I went along to the World Humanist Congress that was being held in Oxford. And the reason why I went along was it was a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go to that World Congress, because it just happened to be in the UK, and it's usually somewhere else in the world. And I met like-minded people, and I realised that I'd probably been a humanist my whole life.
Well, let's talk about your story then. You said that you were brought up as a Roman Catholic in Northern Ireland. Not the easiest place back then to be a Roman Catholic, I wouldn't have thought. Do you think that had anything to do with you being more open to dispensing with your Roman Catholicism, because it was too difficult?
In part, I think, as well. But also, I was really interested in science. I'm a geologist, looking into evolution. And I just felt, for me personally, that was a better explanation in understanding reality. I just decided, having looked at the divisions in Northern Ireland caused by religion, I got an early insight on how much people in different religions have in common. And I just felt, if you strip out the divine aspects and the doctrinal aspects of, say, the religions in Northern Ireland, there's a huge amount of common ground. And I just felt it sad as a child that people don't focus on that common ground. They more focus on the division. So as a humanist, I'm not of the anti-religious wing at all. I think there's actually a lot of common ground between all the religions, and it's just a pity we don't focus on that.
And your family, were they what might be called devout Catholics, excuse me, or were they Christmas Catholics?
It's so funny you should ask that, because my dad converted to Catholicism so he could marry my mother, who was an Irish Catholic, but he was really an atheist. He didn't go to church, whereas my mum was quite devout.
So when you said or hinted that actually you were giving up Catholicism and you were heading towards atheism, How did that go down?
Yeah, even till I was age 30, my mum used to, you know, if I was staying at home visiting, I still used to get the nudge at, you know, at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning to see if I wanted to go to mass. But eventually she gave up on that.
Right.
So a very typical story.
Yeah. Okay. So you went through life from that teen years where you decided that Catholicism wasn't for you and you were drifting towards science and atheism. Mm. Tell me what sustained you through life. Was it just a belief in science, and was that enough? Was it a belief in human beings and the ability to get on as they hadn't been doing back home in Northern Ireland, or what?
I think for me, what sustains me is focusing on what I know rather than an unseen afterlife. I prefer to, I do know about this one life I have, the one life you have, and I think this is the one life each of us have. So what I like to do is live the best life I can whilst the light bulb of consciousness is on, and respect other people because this is a unique time for them. This is the one life they have. And that, you know, that's the moral choice I make in terms of making decisions about how best to live a good life. I think most humanists use the golden rule. That's probably the only one commandment we have, which is live your life treating others as you want to be treated yourself.
I mentioned to you off mic before we started talking that I went to my first humanist service this year. It was a funeral. And I found it eye-opening, let's just put it that way. But it seems to be the demand for humanist services, whether it is for funerals or even for weddings now, it seems to be growing. Am I imagining that?
Humanist ceremonies, so marriage, naming ceremonies, and also particularly funeral services are growing. And it's interesting when I say to people I'm, you know, chair of Windsor Humanist, or when I was looking for a venue, actually talking to the landlady of the establishment where we go to, she allowed us to use the facilities for free because she had just been to a funeral of her father-in-law, and it was a humanist funeral, and she just found it wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you tend to find that a lot of people have met humanism through going to a humanist funeral and like it because the focus during the service is on the person rather than the doctrine.
Mm. It's funny because I spoke to the, you don't call him a minister then, what do you call him?
A celebrant.
Celebrant at this funeral. I spoke to him afterwards and I was asked if I would invite him back for a cup of tea and a sandwich and a sausage roll. And he said he'd love to, but he had two more services to do that day. And I said, well, you're in demand. He said, oh, three's the norm every day of the week. I thought, wow, this really is growing. Now, if people want to know more about humanism or want to find out more about Windsor Humanists, where did they go for information, Anthony?
Windsor Humanists, we've got a website, windsorhumanist.com, and there's the Humanist UK website, the British Humanist Association.co.uk.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Paul.
It. Thank you.
Sport this summer on BBC Radio.